From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Audie Cornish. Tomorrow is the big day at the Vatican. The conclave begins. 115 Roman Catholic cardinals will be locked inside the Vatican to begin the business of electing a new pope. The conclave is a process drenched in history and ritual, and it's complicated. We asked NPR's Philip Reeves to walk us through how it works.
Decisions don't get much bigger than this. This is about the world's oldest continuous absolute monarchy, the leader of nearly 1.2 billion Catholics, who'll take charge of a church in deep crisis. His election rests on 115 cardinals.
I mean, the cardinals recognize this is the most important thing they will ever do in their lives. This is the high point of being a cardinal.
Father Thomas Rees of the National Catholic Reporter has studied the conclave system. During the conclave, the cardinals live within the Vatican grounds in a big guest house run by nuns. Most have two-room suites. That sounds luxurious, but it isn't, says Monsignor Kevin Irwin, professor of liturgical studies at the Catholic University of America. He's been there.
Oh, a three-star hotel. It's noisy, and the dining room is noisy, but it's so, don't think, five stars.
All communications are cut, says Rees.
The phone doesn't work, the TV doesn't work, they have no email, they have no internet, they have no cell phones, they don't even have snail mail.
Tomorrow, at mid-afternoon local time, the cardinals will leave their guest house and go to the Vatican's Pauline Chapel nearby. From there, they walk in procession to the Sistine Chapel, singing as they go, says Irwin.
They're singing, "Pray for us," to the Litany of the Saints. It's a mantra. I mean, they're singing a mantra as they walk into the Sistine Chapel.
Pause for a moment and imagine this scene. A throng of cardinals from across the planet, wearing blood-red robes, sashes and crucifixes, gathering beneath the pulsating blues and golds of the Renaissance frescoes that adorn the Sistine's vaulted ceiling. Rees says once they're all inside, you can hear a pin drop.
In the Sistine Chapel, there's absolute silence. There they are, sitting in silence with Michelangelo's Jesus, you know, at the Last Judgment, staring down at them from the wall.
Late afternoon, the cardinals will likely vote once.
Each cardinal has a ballot in front of him. It's a very small piece of paper. At the top of it says, "I vote for."
The cardinals disguise their handwriting as they write the name and fold the paper in half.
And then you hold it in the air as you march up one by one. And of course, the reason you're holding it up in the air is to make sure everybody can see you're only voting once.
Each cardinal posts his ballot into an urn. The papers are counted by three cardinals. One reads out the names. To win, you need a two-thirds majority. After the first day, there are two ballots each morning and two each afternoon until a pope's elected. After the voting, ballot papers are burnt in a stove inside the Sistine Chapel that's connected to a chimney on the roof. The eyes of the world are on that chimney. If there's no winner, the smoke, with the help of some chemicals, comes out black. White smoke signals a new man's been chosen and has accepted the papacy. Or at least that's what's supposed to happen, says Rees.
It's never worked all that well. I don't know, you know, I wish they would test it and make sure it works before they go into the conclave. Because last time, the smoke came out gray. Everybody, is it white? Is it black?
When a pope's elected, St. Peter's biggest bell is also supposed to ring. Last time, that didn't quite go to plan either. Rees says the cardinal in charge was busy burning ballot papers, so he instructed a Swiss guard to call the bell ringer instead.
So the Swiss guard runs out, gets a place where his cell phone works, and calls the guy and tells him, ring the bell. And he won't do it. He won't do it unless he hears from his boss. He's not going to make a mistake and ring the bell when there's no pope.
Eventually, after a considerable delay, someone in authority called the bell ringer.
And then slowly we saw the bell start to move, and that's the point at which we knew that a new pope had been elected.
Meanwhile, helped by a tailor, the new pope climbs into his new white robes. Three sets have been prepared, small, medium, and large. Irwin says last time, when Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger was elected, none fitted.
So they had to take him out of his cassock, put him into a black sweater, and over that put a white alb, nothing special, and then the red garment, because nothing fit him. He wasn't wearing a cassock at all.
Now comes the moment when a cardinal appears on that balcony overlooking St. Peter's Square.
Everyone is cheering, etc. And he says, I announce to you good news, we have a pope.
Habemus papam.
He goes on about 8 or 9 words that are titles, you know, the most reverend and the this and the that, and then give the person's first name.
That's when we discover who's the next pope, before the man himself nervously walks out onto that balcony and meets an anxiously awaiting world. Philip Reeves, NPR News, Rome.